Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, here in your number one hour for sports talk here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, discussing the Nashville Predators. We've discussed the Ryan Ellis trade. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line on the Ellis trade, the return for Ryan Ellis, and what this means for the Predators as they move forward here this offseason on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But some more news for the Nashville Predators over the weekend as well. And Joe, as we know, the expansion draft protection list was due on Saturday for NHL teams. And this was right before the roster freeze taking place. Ryan Ellis gets traded, and then the freeze comes into effect, and the expansion draft lists were due at that point. Those lists made public yesterday morning, and I walked into church yesterday morning knowing that when I got out, the list would be made public. I got out to about 35 text messages yesterday from people, and they all asked the same question. Tanner Janot? Really? That was the same question that I got from all these people walking out of church, and that was one of the big surprises yesterday was the expansion draft protection list for the Nashville Predators at forward, Philip Forsberg and Luke Cunningham. I don't think any surprise there. Tanner Janot, the third forward protected by the Predators. The Preds also protect five defensemen, Carrier, Ekholm, Fabro, Josi, and Myers, who they received back from the Ellis trade, and then Juuse Saros, obviously, the goaltender that was protected by the Nashville Predators as well. Let's start with just that angle, this, because the Predators were the only team in the NHL to protect five defensemen. So they were the only team in the league to go that route, five defensemen, three forwards, and one goalie. The New York Islanders, I think, were the only team that did that in the Vegas draft. Were you surprised at all that they still went five defensemen without Ryan Ellis being a part of the protection list, or is it just simply asset management at that point if you're David Poile with Myers being on the list? Because I don't think any of the other four are a surprise at all that they were protected.
No. I mean, I think you have to do it. You make that deal. You have to make sure that you get, you know, 50% of the deal coming back.
You would think.
But it is quite a comment on, like, your forward group, right?
Yeah.
The fact that no other team in the league has done, you know. I mean, and I guess some people could look at it and say, like, well, David Poile overemphasizing defensemen again or whatever. But, I mean, I think the makeup of this team dictates that strategy. But, yes, the Janot thing in particular, I will say, I didn't see that coming in. I mean, we've all been guessing at this for a long time and putting out a protection list. I didn't see anybody with that.
Nobody had Tanner Janot on that list. And, you know, it's interesting. We've come out with all these lists, and I came out with mine last week, and the three forwards I had on there were Forsberg, Cunningham, and Colton Sissons. And as we know, Colton Sissons, I think he's got like 5 years left on his contract. So at a little bit more than $2 million, I think he's right around $2.1 million per year. It's a pretty good bargain for the Predators, and he's played very well. Now, we've had some people on the text line say, why would you protect Colton Sissons? Hey, look, I think in a perfect world, if your forward group had lived up to their expectations, you would not be protecting Colton Sissons. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but it is what it is. The forward group has not lived up to expectations. But I got to say, I did not see the Tanner Janot move coming. And honestly, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The only way it really makes sense to me, and this is something that I guess we won't know, has David Poile at any point in his conversation with Seattle heard Janot's name come up the other way? And does he feel strongly one way or the other that Seattle would take Janot? Because if he doesn't, like if I, just from an outsider looking at Seattle, I don't know that Tanner Janot would come up as in the top five of the players that I would take if I'm Seattle in terms of who has been exposed by the Predators. So it almost feels like, okay, you've protected Tanner Janot. It's obvious you like him and you feel good about his future, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's a lot to like about Tanner Janot. But is Tanner Janot really in that much danger of being selected by Seattle? I would say no. Maybe David Poile has different information.
Well, he does. He has a lot more information than we
have.
He's
got more, but I don't know that it's necessarily different. Like, I don't know that David Poile has heard from Seattle, like, yeah, we're taking Janot.
No, but I mean, if in that camp, in the Preds camp, they just love Janot. And I will say, he's a bit of a revelation this year.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, obviously big, strong guy, fitting great on that line, but some skill. Well, I mean, it's a small sample size, but they have more information.
But it was all year. It wasn't just the NHL level either. Like at the AHL level, he put up 21 points in 13 games this year. 10 goals, 11 assists.
So, like, the light went on maybe, which does happen. It can happen in 21, 23, 25. I mean, these things can happen. So, maybe as you said, maybe there was some sort of information that there could be interest, or maybe it was just one of those things like, you know what? They're probably not going to take him, but we can live with them taking Sissons or Yarncroke, and this is a young player who actually might be able to elevate from here.
Well, I think what you brought up earlier this segment is my main takeaway from the Jeannot news being protected. That's quite the indictment on the rest of this forward group from David Poile and the Predators. Like, for Tanner Jeannot, who was not a part of the roster last year on the opening night roster, for him to come in and not only be a part of the future now, but be on the protected list from the expansion draft, that is quite the indictment on the rest of your forward roster. And to nobody's surprise, maybe to a few people's surprise, but to most people's unsurprised, Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson left off the protection list by the Predators. I mean, that would have been malpractice, I think, to put one of those two on the expansion draft list. But that does the rest of your forwards, whether it's Yarncroke or Sissons or whomever, that's a pretty big indictment on the rest of your forward group that Tanner Jeannot is third on that list.
Yeah. It is, and I will say, I thought there was a small chance that Johansson would be protected.
Yep.
I did consider that as a possibility, not Duchene. I mean, I think that's still the preference, and what helps you more if you can get the Kraken to take him. But I thought there was a small chance with Johansson. But, yeah, the most likely scenario was that those two are unprotected, which, of course, I think, again, especially with Duchene. I mean, Johansson, that trade was long ago. You got a lot out of that trade, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. But Duchene, you're talking 2 years after going out and paying him a ton of money and giving him a long deal, basically saying, yeah, man, I screwed this up big time.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, then look at the whole forward group, and, man, it's not pretty.
It's not. And as you said, the Predators are the only team in the NHL to go the five defensemen, three forward route. And I look at this, and this goes back to kind of the messaging part of this. David Poile, I think he's sending a pretty clear message to his core group of, hey, this is just not acceptable anymore. They've moved on from Ellis. They've moved on from Arvidsson. Johansson's not protected. Duchene's not protected. Sissons, Yarncroke, not protected. Even though, look, those two guys are it's a different conversation, right? Number one, they're not getting paid a whole lot. But number two, I thought Sissons and Yarncroke pretty good last year. Like, I think they played – I mean, Yarncroke was almost your leading scorer, for God's sake. Which, again, that is an indictment on the rest of your forward group if that's the case. And that's no disrespect to him. But Yarncroke should not be your leading scorer. But the Sissons thing is interesting to me because – I feel like he's exactly the type of player that John Hines likes. We talked about the Hurd line. I mean, you need a centerman for the Hurd line.
If you love that line, that's your identity line, there's your center.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that other people can come in and do that if he gets picked, but he's a pretty big part of that line.
Yeah, and look, at this point, if I had to guess here today, 2 days before the expansion draft, what scenario is more likely? Is it either Matt Duchene or Ryan Johansson being selected, and maybe if you're the Predators having to send additional assets, whatever that would be, to Seattle? Or is it a Cali Yarncroke or what I think to be more likely, Colton Sissons being taken because of the term he's got left on his contract and how inexpensive he is? Like, I feel pretty decent today that maybe Colton Sissons is going to be the one taken. And I think that's a substantial loss for this group. With the way that they play now and the way he fits into that style of play. I do. I think it's a loss.
Oh, no doubt. I agree. It's also, this is less important, but again, you talk about fans and connections with players. There's another huge link to that run. and the guy who had the hat trick in the game that got you to the Stanley Cup final. But yeah, beyond that, I mean, I think he's really been a. I mean, this is exactly what you hope to have in like a bottom six forward who you develop over time. You have a nice, inexpensive deal. He does everything for you. Both those guys, really, Yarncroke and Sissons, have been really valuable for the Preds. But, yeah, moving forward, like you said, I think that obviously Hines loves that line and calls them the identity line. I mean, that's a pretty big statement and valued them and even got, like, as many of them on the ice early in that series as he could, yeah. You know. What if they lose Sissons, can you just go with the other three guys? You know?
I guess. Like, can Janot play center?
Janot center in that
Trennan?
Thing? Trennan? Trennan and Olivier? Just blast people.
I mean, it'd be a fun line to watch.
Yeah.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jordan texting in. Sissons is like a football team swing tackle. He can do it all, and he doesn't cost very much.
So he's like Dennis Kelly.
Yeah, he's Dennis Kelly.
He's Dennis Kelly of the Preds.
Now, Dennis Kelly's gone, and we'll see about Colton Sissons in a couple of days. There was one part, though, of the protection list and really the reaction from Predators fans yesterday that bothered me, that got on my nerves. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking Nashville Predators, reacting to the expansion draft protection list yesterday by the Nashville Predators. Tanner Janot included with the forward group, which consists also of Philip Forsberg and Luke Cunning, and then five defensemen for the Predators, Carrier, Ekholm, Yossi, almost said Ellis. He's no longer there. Favreau and Myers as well.
It's understandable.
Coming back from the Ellis trade. So five defensemen, three forwards for the Predators. But y'all, I got to tell you, there was one part yesterday of the reaction to this that drove me nuts. And it was prevalent on Twitter yesterday, and that is the love for Yakov Trennan. Now, before I get started here, let me just say, I like Yakov Trennan. I think Yakov Trennan is a good young player. I think especially in the role that he plays for this team, he is very useful. And obviously, he and his line played very well coming down the stretch. So nothing I am about to say is anything personally against Yakov Trennan, because I think he's a fine player. But there were people like just freaking out yesterday on Twitter about Yakov Trennan not being protected. And I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, I already have enough of a problem with Tanner Janot being protected. I doubt Seattle's taking him. Seattle's probably also not taking Yakov Trennan, and if they do, you got three other guys that can play the same role that Trennan can play. I don't understand this love affair with, oh my goodness, Trennan is absolutely worth protecting. No, he's not. He's a fourth-line player. He's a fourth-line player with, you've got two other guys that play exactly the same style. I don't understand where this love affair is coming from. And again, a lot of this is just it's a comment on the rest of the forward group. But you can like a player, and you can like how they fit into your team, and also recognize that, yeah, probably not worth protecting in the expansion draft. Like, I like Tanner Janot. I like Yakov Trennan. I like Matthew Olivier. Probably not worth protecting in the expansion draft if you're David Poile and the Nashville Predators. That was all over the place yesterday on Twitter. And for the life of me, like, our good friend Chris Bartel was talking about it too, and he and Michael Gallagher were in a conversation and was like, Yakov Trennan is absolutely worth protecting. And I was like, why? Why is Yakov Trennan worth protecting? Can you explain this to me?
Martel said this?
Yes. I mean, it wasn't just him. It was everywhere.
He's had some spicy takes lately.
He has, but it wasn't just Martel. It was all over the place on Twitter yesterday of, why didn't the Predators protect Yakov Trennan? And I'm just like, what am I missing here? Like, he's probably not going to be taken by Seattle. And if he is, so what? Like, if they lose Yakov Trennan, does that change your opinion of the short-term future or long-term future of this team at all, Joe Rexroth? Is there anything that changes?
Well, Yakov hater.
Again, I like Yakov Trennan. I think he's a good player. Not worth protecting in the expansion draft.
Do you? Is it possible it's just because he's a guy who for a few years was one of the prospects people talked about and you hoped that he would come along and eventually – like, does that have anything to do with it? Like some sort of a an emotional connection just because he's one of those young players that was talked about trying to make the team for a few years? I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Maybe.
I'm throwing stuff at the wall.
I don't know. Maybe this is just as simple as, you know, they hate the other forward so much right now, and the Predators fans are so tired with people not being productive that anybody that shows any sign of promise, they're like, yes, protect them.
Yeah.
Like, protect Jakob Trenin over Philip Forsberg.
Well, yeah.
Like, okay.
Now, if you get that, that could only be on Facebook.
Yes.
But, yeah, there probably is some of the just young, protect the young, and, you know, some of these veterans, and move on, you know, even though, again, I – like you said, Sissons, a lot of value. Yarncroak, a lot of value. I like Trenin. I mean, I think Trenin also, I mean, he's got some skill to go with the physicality. He makes some plays. He did some nice things.
He's fine. He does not change the picture of this franchise one way or the other. He's a good player to have on your side. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with Jakob Trenin. He's not worth protecting. Like Rob on YouTube right now says, that fourth line player was one of the three that dragged us into the playoffs and made us compete with Carolina. That's fine. They did. That line played well. But let me tell you this. If your strategy of competing with Carolina and the top teams in the league is relying on your fourth line, I got some news for you. You're in for a rude awakening because that's not going to happen. You're not competing with teams like Carolina and Tampa Bay because your fourth line plays well. It's just not going to happen.
As a kid growing up, a Detroit Red Wings fan, I mean, I loved the grind line. Loved them. They were great. But the reason that they were winning cups is because of all the high-paid stars who scored goals.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to. So, it's overstated by a lot of fans. But again, and it goes along with Janot being protected. It's all a commentary, again, on the forward collection here.
Right, again, and I want to double down on this because some people are going to take this and think that I just hate Jakob Trenin. Jakob Trenin is fine. He is a good player. He played well for the Predators last year. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't convince me that Jakob Trenin is worth protection in the expansion draft. I don't think Tanner Janot was worth protecting in the expansion draft. So I just don't understand this, oh my goodness, Jakob Trenin is going to be taken. If you would have told Predators fans last year the Jakob Trenin is the one that you're going to lose in the expansion draft to Seattle rather than, I don't know, James Neal 4 years ago, people would be like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I guess that's just the price you have to pay at that point. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, there's also the fourth line just connection, I think. Nothing wrong with that. The way it was talked up,
yeah.
The way John Hines
played it. They played great.
Yeah.
They played great.
Hey, they're a blast. But again, you could – if you lost Trenin, I mean, like, here's a poll. Here's a poll idea. If you could choose right now between losing Sissons or Trenin, I mean, to me, if I'm a Preds fan, I'm saying, yeah, Trenin.
See you,
and
Trenin.
Then Sissons can center that, and then Olivier and Janot with Sissons. Well,
that's the other thing.
Great.
Like, if
you got a great fourth line still.
Like, if you're going to lose one of those members of the fourth line, I would much rather have Sissons in there. Like, if you lost Janot, which, again, I don't think Seattle's taking Janot if he's available. But if he did, all right, you've got Trenin and you've got Olivier, which, by the way, played pretty well before Janot got up.
Right.
If you lose Trenin, you've got Janot and Olivier. Like, the fourth line's there. The herd line's there. Either way, if you lose Sissons, then I think you got a little bit of a problem. Like, somebody's got to play center at that point.
Yarncroak, get down there.
I just saw this everywhere yesterday that people were freaking out about losing Jakob Trenin. And I was like, all right, so nobody's freaking out about losing Colton Sissons, but everybody's losing their mind over Jakob Trenin. Strange world.
It is a little weird. Maybe it's his post-game interviews are funny.
They are.
You know?
Yeah. He's good. He's a good player.
Good player, Jakob Trenin. Fun personality. I don't know, man.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. April in Portland texting in, I love Trenin and Janot, but they should not have been protected. Should have saved Sissons or Yarncroak. I'm hoping David Poile has a deal in place to take Duchesne and some assets to get him off the roster. That's the other thing. Like, if you're getting rid of Duchesne now, like, who else are you getting rid of?
Well, Yeah, but that's the thing. We were talking earlier in the show. You go through the forwards, and it's like, okay, it doesn't add up. So maybe there is a plan that involves more going there. But is Seattle – I mean, is Seattle interested in that at all?
Right.
Will they be? Are they gonna spend big on Carey Price? I mean, there's some other options. There's some other options for them that get them to the floor. Yeah, Tarasenko.
Yep.
It's an interesting. I mean, it's going to be fascinating.
Let's go back to the text line. Greg texting in. Trennan rocked Zdeno Chara with a good haymaker and became a fan favorite. That's why people wanted to protect him.
That was a couple years ago.
I was about to say, well, that's fine, but
that was impressive.
I mean, it was great. Again, Jakob Trennan, good player. Good guy to have on your team. He's not worth protecting in the expansion draft. Like, if your reasoning for protecting Jakob Trennan is he punched Zdeno Chara in the face 2 years ago, okay, good luck with that.
What's up with your forwards? I mean, that's the thing. They did protect Janot. There are people talking about how they should have protected Trennan. Again, what does this all say?
Four groups not very good. That's what it says.
Like, loudly, with a few exclamation points.
And that's to Frank's point on the text line. Robbie, the Trennan reaction is another indictment on how bad the forwards are and how low fans' expectations are for this team. It's a good point. I mean, the fact that people are just up in arms that Jakob Trennan is not protected and they're like parading in the streets that Johansson and Duchesne are exposed in the expansion draft shows you about where this forward group is right now. It's not a good spot to be in.
Tough spot.
Let's go back to the text line. Kristen texting in, the fans have lost faith in this core. I would have protected Colton Sissons. Sissons would have been my vote, too. Got Derek in Nashville. Jakob Trennan is Kirk Maltby. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so who's Draper? Who's Chris Draper? Someone who hopefully didn't have to encounter one of the dirtiest players in the history of hockey, Claude Lemieux.
Sorry.
Then Darren McCarty, I guess that makes Sissons Darren McCarty. Darren McCarty a little bit better than Sissons. But, hey.
I was about to say Darren McCarty's pretty good.
Yeah, get the point.
I mean, Sissons, he's had some huge moments. That's the other thing. You talk about fan favorites. The most magical moment in the history of this franchise, Colton Sissons is, like, directly responsible for with a hat trick in Game 6. And people are just like, oh, yeah, you lose Colton Sissons. But God bless, don't lose Jakob Trennan.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's like whoever texted there, you know, fans want the core gone. Sure. But, like, do you want Forsberg? Would you like Josi gone? You want to keep some of the core, right?
Like you have to keep some of them.
I'm not saying Sissons is Forsberg and Josi. Don't get me wrong. But some of those guys are still good players for you, including Sissons and Yarncroak.
Yeah. Jacob on Periscope says, Trennan flirted. That was not Jacob. Jacob's the next comment. This is this is DJ on Twitter. Trennan flirted with the KHL last year. They could also be worried about that if you're the fans. Okay.
Not anymore, right?
Yeah, I think he's fine now. But what does protecting him in the expansion draft, if he's still getting paid the same amount of money, does that change the way that Jakob Trennan feels about his future? Like, if he's that concerned about going and playing for the KHL, I don't know if you decided to protect him in the draft. And that's the other thing. Like, if he wanted to go play in the KHL, you could – protect him in the expansion draft, and then he could just go leave to play in the KHL.
He could still go do that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
The bottom line is, do not leave Jakob.
People love Jakob. That's what I learned yesterday on Twitter. People really love Jakob Trennan, which good for him. Again, good player. Somebody's going to take this and run with it, think I hate Jakob Trennan, which I don't.
It's a big player. I mean, a big weekend for the herd line. You know, Tanner's, you know, everyone's shocked he gets protected. And Jakob Trennan, everyone loves him and is sending a big outpouring toward him. So good for you, herd line.
It is a pretty important week for the herd line.
Not great for the center of the herd line, though.
Maybe not. When we come back, there were some interesting comments made from a former Nashville Predator about his role with the team last year and what that means for the Predators and their future. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. comments on YouTube getting lively right now.
The Trennan hater is getting
a little bit of arguments going on YouTube. Also, Rob on YouTube says, I've heard somewhere that Robbie and Rex Road hashtag hates Trennan.
There we go.
I knew this was going to happen.
Yep. Doesn't matter what you actually said. You said something that indicates you hate Yakov Trennan.
Yakov Trennan's going to be mad at me next year when we're back in the locker room.
Kind of a big dude, too.
Yeah, he's
a
good. Well, that's what I did to Chara. I'm not going to be messing with that guy, that's for sure. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a poll question out at 1025 The Game on Twitter. The poll question of the day is, of these two players, which one would you prefer to lose in the expansion draft? Is it Colton Sissons or is it Yakov Trennan? Very early in the voting process. Right now, Yakov Trennan, 51% of the vote. Colton Sissons at 49%. So it's basically 50-50 right now, early on in the voting, between Sissons and Trennan. Joe, if I ask you that question, what's your response? Is it close? Do you give consideration? Which one would you rather lose if you're the Predators or a Predators fan, Colton Sissons or Yakov Trennan?
I would rather lose Trennan. Am I going to say it's like, don't think about it for a second at all? No, I mean,
I'm not saying that either.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a promising young player. Sissons is older. I mean, I'd give it some thought, but yeah, I would make the choice of keeping Sissons. He's done so much for you for a long time, and he's still a good age, good contract. It's a better way to go.
Well, Marco on Twitter says, Trennan is an RFA, cost-controlled, and has higher potential and a lower cap hit. I would agree. He's probably got higher potential. The lower cap hit part of this, I mean, Sissons is $2 million. So, I mean, you've got to spend some money somewhere. Like, they've already freed up a ton of money. Who knows? They may free up some more later this week. You've got to have somebody making some money on your team. Like, Colton Sissons is not expensive at all. He's about where he should be in terms of his salary, but it's certainly not expensive.
And again, that's a guy who, in a pinch, I don't know, on the way to a Stanley Cup final, can be your number one center.
Yeah.
You know, and get a hat trick.
Yeah.
In the conference finals, game six. So, kind of good.
We'll continue to keep you updated on the poll question of the day. You can vote on that poll at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Lots of thoughts to get to on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, some interesting comments from Victor Arvidsson in an interview with our friend Adam Vingan at The Athletic. And Adam got to a lot of things with Victor Arvidsson, of course, who has been traded to the Los Angeles Kings, about some comments that David Poile made on this station and about Arvidsson's willingness to be here. We'll get to that here in just a second. But I want to start with just the injury part with Victor Arvidsson, because we all think about the cross-check from Robert Bortuzzo from the Blues on Arvidsson, about that point being where Arvidsson's career with the Predators really changed and, quite frankly, never got back to the Victor Arvidsson that we saw before that. And Arvidsson went into detail about that play and the injuries that he sustained for that play. And he got cross-checked kind of in the lower back as he's in front of the net, and he goes down, and then he gets, you know, cross-checked again and pile-driven into the ice. And this is a little quote from Vingan's article here, quote from Arvidsson. I blew both my MCLs out on both legs. I had double MCL sprains on my left and right knees. I came back from that after 5 weeks, right before the Winter Classic, I believe. So Arvidsson detailing that play where we knew something happened. We never know exactly what it was, but blowing out both his MCLs on that play, on that cross check by Robert Bortuzzo. And what did Bortuzzo get suspended? Like one game for that? I don't remember exactly what it was.
That replay, you know, was circulating a lot the other day. It is infuriating to watch as he gets that second one in.
Yeah.
Also infuriating, like no one got in his face.
Yeah, no one touched him.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But you knew, yeah, I always thought, oh, man, that's a back thing. But then, I mean, I didn't even consider that it was a knee, double knee thing to go with whatever happened to his back.
Well, but we've talked about the speed part of this, right? Like, that starts to make a little bit more sense when you factor in he's blown out both MCLs in his leg. Now, you know, he was out 5 weeks. He's played since then, and he's had more injuries since then. So it's not just that, but that starts to make a little bit more sense about how Victor Arvidsson, when you think about that play, he's never been the same since then. Maybe he can get back to that point. Maybe he does that in L.A., but during his time in Nashville, that was the play I point to where his career kind of went the other way.
Yeah, and in the bubble, he did look fast.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been the sustained, consistent Arvidsson of the first few years. A lot of interesting stuff from that interview with Vingan, including him saying that he was healthy.
Yep.
When he was scratched by John Hines. Now, of course, just like he can say, I think I'm still in my prime and I'm going to be great, he can say whatever he wants. I mean, it can still be a – like him saying, I don't think I was healthy or whatever the exact quote is, or I don't think I was unhealthy or what the exact quote is, I mean, it's a he said thing.
Vingan asked him if he was healthy enough to play in more than two playoff games, and he said, quote, yeah, I think I was. So he thinks he was. Obviously, he wasn't completely healthy. Maybe the Predators have a difference of opinion there. Right. But I do. But we, going back to that time, we had legitimate conversations about, you know, if Arvidsson's healthy, is he even going to be in the lineup?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's where it got to with Victor Arvidsson.
Right. But that's one of those things. And I did, you know, so Jared talked about some players not being happy with John Hines the other day. And that is something we talked about at the time. I was like, well, if he was healthy and they said he wasn't healthy, that's a problem, you know? Now, it still can be a difference of opinion. I mean, you know, this is also semantics. Like, was he banged up? So not injury list level, but banged up, ineffective because he was banged up?
Yeah.
Does that count? Does that count as – because whatever – I mean, Hines said during the playoff run, like, no, I mean, right? I mean, he said, again, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but that he was not healthy.
Right. But interesting.
If he was, I can understand players being upset. I can also still – I could still make the case to not have him in the lineup at that point based on how he was playing, how they wanted to play, who else was in there for him. Bigger, more physical guys.
Very interesting interview that you could check out at The Athletic with Adam Vingan, and we'll get to more of that coming up a little bit later here in the show. Got a lot of your thoughts to run through here on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CeCe texting in, I didn't understand protecting Fabbro, and then I recalled Poyle said that just because a player was protected didn't mean said player was going to make the team. I think there's a Seth Jones-type trade coming to get someone to take Johansson or Duchesne.
Well, I think Fabbro being included is it's one of the obvious names that comes to mind. I mean, it doesn't help them that he was a scratch in the playoffs. And people are like, wait, what's going on with this kid? You know, 2 years ago, he's kind of a revelation in that series against Dallas, and now he can't even crack your lineup. You got Ben Harper going out there. You got Goodbranson out there. What's going on? But still, I think he's an obvious name. If the Preds could figure out a way to send something to them to get them to take one of those guys.
Got a texture that says, why keep talking about Trennan if you don't care about keeping him? Why do you keep Myers? Trennan is a Holmstrom-type player that is solid physical player, which is what Preds fans were asking for. First off, let's pump the brakes before we compare Yakov Trennan to Thomas Holmstrom.
Thomas Holmstrom, all kinds of Red Wings today. I mean,
my goodness, what are we talking about here? Jeez. Also, I like Yakov Trennan. I'm just saying that if you lose Yakov Trennan, it's not like this just sends your franchise into a spiral, losing Yakov Trennan. He's easily replaceable by two other guys on the roster.
You
can't tell me that he's not.
Sorry. You like Yakov Trennan. You're just saying you hate Yakov Trennan. I get it. It's fine.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
No problem.
Thank you.
Let's just crystallize it. We'll send it out in a tweet, and it'll be fine.
Trevor texting in from Milwaukee. Even Watson got protected by the Ottawa Senators. It may be more of an indictment on the Ottawa Senators than anything else. Austin Watson.
Good for him, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. Let's go to the text line again. What can the Preds afford to give up to move Johansson or Duchesne to Seattle? If teams wouldn't take less than half their salary retained, does a buyout make sense? Thanks, you guys rock. Thank you. Buyout does not make sense.
I mean, especially
you're already buying out tourists.
I mean, the Wild will tell you, hey, you can buy out whoever you want, baby.
Apparently so.
Buy them all out. Well, especially the cap recapture. Oh, the cap recapture.
Yeah.
$5 million. But no, I even without that, I don't think you can go that route. And again, it's like, I mean, look, if you can't make a deal, okay, Well, then Matt Duchene needs to come back and play give better. You 60 points next year.
Yeah.
Maybe he will. And that's what they paid him for, to be what he's been, which is that, right?
Right.
I mean, basically, he's been, by his numbers, so he has 55 points in 100 games. So he's basically been a 45-point player for you. Not enough goals.
No.
But a 45-point player for you. You need him to be a 60-point player. That's what you paid for. You probably paid too much.
Oh, there's no probably.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, even if, like, at the beginning, if you were saying, okay, 60 points for the next 8 years.
Yeah.
Is it worth $8 million at that moment?
Probably not.
Probably not. Now there's no question you overpaid based on the production.
By the way, Bortuzzo suspended 4 games. My apologies. I couldn't remember exactly what it was. But 4 games.
And not a single even like crossword from a teammate of Arvidsson's that we could detect.
Yeah. At least that part of the Predators has changed. If that happens this year with this team, probably a little bit different response.
That's true.
Would be my guess.
Trennan.
Be a part of it.
See?
Big Yakov Trennan fan here.
I would hope so.
When we come back,
you better vote in the poll for Sissons to be gone.
When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant. We do this every week at 7:45 on Mondays. Rex Rhodes fired up, and you're going to want to tune into this one. It's quite a doozy from a former, very popular Nashville athlete. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Rhodes here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes. It is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. A nice little, I think it's a, that's that Facebook video I showed you a couple months ago of the What Blink-182 Would Sound Like covering the Journey song. It was awesome.
Oh, that's right. So that's not actually Blink.
No, it's not actually Blink, but that guy does one heck of a job sounding like
it. It's like someone who started playing guitar a month ago who can sound exactly like Blink-182 because they suck that bad. Good to know.
Yes, it is. There you go.
All right.
With that in mind, today's edition of the Rex Rant now begins. You can check this out every Monday at 7:45 here on the show. Joe Rexrode is fired up. Rexrode, I turn it over to you.
Okay, I guess, well, this is about Delanie Walker. So do we have, I think we should start with the audio of Delanie from a serious interview last week.
Kind of just describing... looking back at his career, looking maybe ahead at what could lie in the future for Delanie Walker.
Yeah, being asked why he wants to play.
And Delanie Walker was asked why he wants to continue to play. And here was his response from former Titans tight end Delanie Walker.
I just like to play, but I sit back and see a guy that's accomplished all that you have. Kirk mentioned the three Pro Bowls, 14 years. You played one game in 18. You played 7 in 19. You sat out last year. Well, what motivates you to want to play even more games going forward?
I want to win a Super Bowl, honestly. I feel like that helps you in your status as you retire in this game, and it's sad that that's something that you got to have to be recognized sometimes. And again, me being in Tennessee, I hate to say this, that hurts my value in any type of awards or accolades because I did play in Tennessee. And you can look at some of the greats like Eddie George, Steve McNair, and them guys just not being getting them coached yet. And it's because they didn't win a Super Bowl and they played in Tennessee. So I look at it, if I can win a Super Bowl, maybe that'll help me and see if we can go from there.
So that was Delanie Walker on SiriusXM talking about his future, why he wants to play, maybe helping out if he can win a Super Bowl with some future accolades coming his way. Joe Rexrode, with that in mind, what did you think of that from Delanie Walker?
Okay, look, so first of all the disclaimers, let's get them out of the way. Delanie Walker, great guy. I respect most about him. He went above and beyond in the community. You know,
sure.
Great connection with kids and a lot of things he got involved with. He was a heck of a player. I would say that he was a great player for a couple seasons with the Titans. So all due respect to him. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Like the idea that where you play in this league has an impact on you in the Hall of Fame. Look, does it have an impact on on a season-by-season basis, people not talking about you, stuff like that, okay, I can buy that. So if Delanie Walker played somewhere else and had a career, which, by the way, his career, like, I haven't even thought about him as a Hall of Famer. I mean, it's not a Hall of Fame
it's
career.
Because he's not a Hall of Famer. Right. Like, it's not really that close.
No. So, I mean, like those guys mentioned, you know, three Pro Bowls. I think you could make a case that he could have had a fourth. He had four seasons that would be, you know, in that realm. You know, 14 through 17. I mean, again, 63 for 894 touchdowns, 94 for 1088 and 6, 65 for 807, and then in 17 he had 74 for 807 and 3 touchdowns. Again, 94 catches, 1,000 yards. For also, by the way, two of those seasons were for teams that won a combined 5 and 27. Now, that does matter. Winning does matter.
Yeah.
For one thing, like, the fact that you said, like, one to win the Super Bowl, it's sad that, like, that would have to be some sort of impact on your accolades. Well, I don't think it's sad. I think winning is valued. So not winning a Super Bowl, he's half right on McNair and Eddie George, right? Like, had McNair won a Super Bowl, then I think McNair would have a much stronger case. But playing here, having an impact, if Delanie Walker did the exact same thing and had done it in San Fran where it stayed, or had done it in L.A., New York, you know, with the Steelers, with the Cowboys, with the Patriots, whoever you want, it's the same thing. He's not in the Hall of Fame. So to conflate the fan story with the lack of Hall of Fame credentials, it's mind-boggling. Let's talk about some guys in the Hall of Fame who played for crap franchises or in front of terrible crowds. Let's talk about Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders with those Detroit Lions, okay? I mean, there's no question about it. Now, they have maybe a better fan base, longer-term fan base, but believe me, they played in – I mean, Calvin Johnson played for an 0-16 team, okay?
Yeah, which is amazing, but yeah.
Let's talk about Leroy Selman, okay? A guy who played for awful Tampa Bay Bucks teams in the 70s when they were starting out with those creamsicle uniforms in front of no fans. Well, he's a great player. He's in the Hall of Fame. Bruce Matthews was here, and most of his career was, you know, playing in front of sparse crowds in the Astrodome in Houston, but he was here. He's in the Hall of Fame. Why isn't Sterling Sharp in from the Green Bay Packers, one of the great franchises of all time? Why isn't Mark Gastineau of the Jets in? Let's keep talking about New York. Eli Manning is going to be a big conversation.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Eli Manning won two Super Bowls. He's from the first family of football. He played for one of the hollow franchises in the league in the biggest market. And I think he's probably going to get in, but it's going to be a discussion.
It's going to be close.
Because the people in the Hall of Fame room spend days going through every shred of information about a player. And not once do they say, yeah, but this guy played in a small market. Because you have to be an all-time great player to be in the Hall of Fame, like Anthony Munoz from small market Cincinnati, or Dan Dierdorf from the freaking Cardinals, or Dan Fouts and Charlie Joyner from the formerly small market Chargers. And then you got guys who aren't quite good enough, great players, but they're not in, like Drew Pearson, a great player for the Cowboys, who's not in. Cliff Branch, a great receiver for the Raiders, not in. Roger Craig, a great running back for the 49ers. Not in. Look, Delanie Walker can say whatever he wants about Titans fans, and it's a totally separate discussion. Titans fans do need to step up. I would say this year, if Nissan Stadium is not full with Titans fans, I don't know when it will be.
There's no longer any excuse.
So that's fine, and he's right. He played in front of some sparse crowds for, again, two teams that went 5-27. But let's also go back to 99 when McNair and Eddie George were here. As a casual NFL fan, every week I heard the best atmosphere in the game is in Nashville.
It was awesome.
In Adelphia Coliseum.
Yep.
Same stadium, different name. You did not have anything better than that in terms of atmosphere, and it got a lot of attention. So let's say McNair's exact career was happened in Dallas. Would he be in? No. Happened in Pittsburgh. In? No. New England, New York. He's not in. Now, had he won a Super Bowl in any of those places? Okay.
Maybe so.
That's a little bit different. So the fan discussion separate. Attention, conversation, Pro Bowl, some of that stuff. Okay, fine. Hall of Fame? First of all, Delanie Walker's not close. All due respect.
I mean, he was a really good player. He's not close to Hall of Famer.
And second of all, playing here has zero impact on that pursuit. I mean, these people sit in a room all day and divide you up every which way, and frankly, they're not even going to have a discussion about him.
Exactly. I couldn't believe. And look, I've dealt with Delanie Walker a couple of times. He's been good to deal with, and he was a good player here for the Titans. He's still wanting to play. I don't know that he's going to get a chance to play. I have my doubts that we'll probably never see Delanie Walker on the field again. Would be my guess in the NFL. We'll see what happens in training camp. Maybe somebody gives him a shot. He's able to make a team. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I hope he does. But those comments, like thinking that you're close to the Hall of Fame, I think it's just totally, it's asinine. Like, he's a good player. I'm not even sure he's, like, what would he have to do to be in the Hall of Fame numbers-wise? I mean, he's got 504 catches, 5,800 yards, 36 touchdowns. Like, what would he have to do? Almost double that to get in the Hall of Fame? Like, it's
right.
It's now, a ridiculous conversation.
Now, someone could find tight ends who are in the Hall who have similar numbers, but, you know, again, you're talking eras.
Yes.
But also, look, if he had those numbers and he had three rings, I mean, this is where,
sure.
and you were a big part of championships, yes, that changes you. I mean, I do, like, the championship side of it is definitely a thing, but the fan base market, the Hall of Fame could not care less. I mean, we can quibble about who they pick and their criteria and all that stuff, but do not quibble with the idea that they go through every single last thing. And my gosh, it's laughable that they didn't talk about him much in 2014. So what? I mean, well, it doesn't even compute.
The best part was, like, later on in the interview, he compared to a place like Atlanta. And I was like, yeah, because the Atlanta Falcons, that's the fan base that's just rabid about football down there. With the Georgia Dome in the old days and now the new place, sometimes like half full or three quarters full. That's the place we're talking about. Okay. The Atlanta Falcons.
Right. I mean, they have some Hall of Famers like Deion Sanders because he's obviously a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Julio Jones is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Julio Jones is going to be in the Hall of Fame. And Derrick Henry?
He's on track, buddy.
He's probably on track, and guess where he plays?
Right here.
Come on.
Yeah, just that was interesting comments there by former Titans tight end Delanie Walker. That is today's edition of the Rex Rant, which you can catch every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on Delanie Walker as well, and also the Ryan Ellis trade by the Nashville Predators. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.